Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. To come under the protection of the Goswamis, one must get the mercy and grace of Nityananda Prabhu. The author has tried to explain this fact in these two verses. So we are belonging to the Sri Sri Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. This Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is coming directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it is coming through Lord Brahma. Subsequently, it is said that from Brahma, this knowledge was imparted to Narada, and from Narada to Vyas, and that Madhavacharya met Vyasadeva in the Himalayas, and subsequently the lineage is traced through Madhavacharya, and then through Madhavindapuri, Iswarapuri, we are coming to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is stated that the followers of Madhavacharya are generally referred to as Tattvavadis, but that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, although they are coming in the lineage of Madhavacharya, are establishing themselves as Gaudiyas to clearly delineate that there is a difference between the Madhava Sampradaya and the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After all, the Tattvavadi Acharya, upon meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in South India, was questioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the goal of life? And the Acharya pointed out that the goal of life is to attain perfection within the system of Varna Ashram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are not speaking to me directly because I'm a sannyasi, you don't want to instruct me, isn't it? And the Acharya did not speak because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because the conclusion of the scriptures that the goal of life is Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. This is the conclusion of all the revealed scriptures. So why are you saying that Varna Ashram is the ultimate summum bonum of all scripture? Right. Such Varna Ashram is simply fruitive activity. It is not transcendental activity. So, therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was distanciating himself from the Tattvavadi Sampradaya, and the Sampradaya coming down from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So, Krishna consciousness means Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, the great miracle that happened is the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is this appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that is the essence of our Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I read some lines of a mundane scholar who said, how unfortunate that the direct followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were basing their theology on the teachings of the Puranas and not directly on the teachings of Mahaprabhu. This is the grossest misconception, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are none different from the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. The entire Chaitanya Charitamrita is reiterating the conclusions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his principal arguments of defeat for impersonalism in his discussions with Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers was based on Srimad Bhagavatam. The principal evidence recited by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita to establish that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is again Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, we understand this is the same movement, the Sri Sri Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the very same movement which is including the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam and including the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is a fact that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very explicitly and clearly outlined the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam and has established very nicely the absolute truth in such a way that the Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness is very much established. Some think that the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book specifically delineating the Leelas of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where it is said that Vrindavan Das Thakur had given the biography of the early pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami particularly focused on the later pastimes of the Lord. However, this is not the entire fact of the matter. The fact of the matter is that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is specifically establishing how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? And what the nature is of the mercy that he came to give. That is the essential theme of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, it is said that of all the six Goswamis, Srila Rupa Goswami is the leader. Srila Prabhupada established him as the leader in representing the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in its full-fledged form. Srila Rupa Goswami was described to be a brilliant writer, a great poet, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was glorifying the writing of Srila Rupa Goswami. Once Srila Rupa Goswami in Jagannath Puri was writing on palm leaf. That was the practice in those days, no paper, but writing on palm leaf. And he had written a particular verse on a palm leaf, and then the time came for the noon bath, and therefore Srila Rupa Goswami just temporarily put that palm leaf in the roof of the hut. He just stuck it in the roof. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked past, he saw that palm leaf, and he wondered, what is it? He took it, and he read this wonderful verse. And the verse was explaining the mood of separation from Vrindavan, which was expressed by Srimati Radharani, who was explaining that now I'm meeting you here, my Lord, in Kuruksetra. That was the message of the verse. But I'm not satisfied. I am simply desiring to meet that personality who plays his flutes on the fifth note on the banks of the Revati of the Yamuna. That was the spirit of Srimati Radharani, not desiring Krishna in his opulence as a king, not desiring him now in the royal mood of Dwarka, surrounded by ministers, distant, being worshipped and respected by all, but Krishna, the cowherd boy from the village of Vrindavan, where the Lord is being worshipped without any such awe and reverence, but worshipped with pure love and worshipped with simple desire to please him, but otherwise with no philosophical understanding that he is the Supreme Lord. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation who is most widely distributing transcendental knowledge of the highest quality. Not only is he distributing it most widely, but the quality is the highest. So Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami have particularly received the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to write this philosophy, which he taught them, to write it down in transcendental literatures and to underbuild the statements with references from the Vedic literature. So therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, E chai goser, Prabhu, mui taradas, ya. He's pointing out that I am the servant of these six Goswamis. He says, E chai goser kori charanavandan. I'm taking shelter at the lotus feet of these six Goswamis, yahoite viknanasa abhista puran. By their mercy, all obstacles on the path of devotional service will be removed. Therefore, there is no doubt that if we are trying to understand tattva, if we are trying to understand what is the true nature of spiritual life, if we are trying to understand purna tattva, then we have to go through the six Goswamis. There is no other way. So, the six Goswamis, and in particularly Rupa Goswami, that means Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Srila Prabhupada's summarized study thereof, the nectar of devotion, is essential. It is our essential connection with the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and equally so, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So in this way, Krishna consciousness becomes very simple. But Prabhupada said that the process of devotional service is very simple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply taught the congregational chanting of the holy name. But there is, he said, amongst my disciples, there are some who are who want it to be more complicated. They're looking for something more complicated. And they may read different books, but they're not chanting Hare Krishna. Right? That is his point. So one must understand that this is the age of Kali. And one must accept that there is not a single human being who is beyond the influence of the age of Kali. We should understand that in this age, the age of Kali is everywhere, is all-pervading and present everywhere, and therefore everyone is influenced by this Kali Yuga. That has to be, that is the first premise. When that is understood, then we understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation for this age, and he is teaching the Yuga Dharma, and therefore one must turn to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one can understand that he is represented by Rupa and Sanatan and the other Goswamis, and that the spiritual process must be based on their teachings very strictly. Then Srila Prabhupada has brought these teachings down to the level of the most fallen, right, and has summarized all these teachings in his transcendental books. And Prabhupada stressed that we should not jump over, but that we should take shelter of his books. So this is our position. This is our shelter. And there is not much more, actually. And whenever we are still looking for more, then we should understand that we are watering down. We are watering down the force. The full force is really found in what is delivered to us by Srila Prabhupada. And there is no such thing as a further strengthening of that force. It may be a fact that Srila Prabhupada authorized us to study beyond his books. And it is a fact that that is required, and that we, by some, but only if it is thoroughly understood that we are simply trying to understand Srila Prabhupada's books better, right, by studying such other literatures, and always to uphold the Siddhanta which is presented by Srila Prabhupada. Right? Otherwise, we are jumping over. That is jumping over. And jumping over is considered fall down. Right? Jumping over is considered a serious deviation and was not at all taken lightly by Srila Prabhupada. Whenever disciples in his presence were displaying these tendencies, he would react strongly. So this is to be considered, that whatever additional literatures we may study, right, Krishna conscious or not Krishna conscious, we are simply studying them in the light of the Siddhanta as it comes down from in the Sampradaya, which is delivered to us by our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada. That is the point. Srila Prabhupada, being the founder, Acharya, of this international society, has given us the basic form in which this Krishna consciousness is to be understood. And now that Sampradaya continues, but the followers in the Sampradaya are upholding the teachings of the founder. The same thing was stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita in reference to the Madhava Sampradaya and the Tattvavadi Acharya, who told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes, I am upholding the teachings of our line, and I know what you say is true. When I'm saying that Varnashram is the ultimate goal of life, I know very well that your point is correct, that there are many statements in the scriptures referring that hearing and chanting is really the essence. But our Acharya said like this, so what can I do? I must represent our Acharya and uphold the Sampradaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I do not see much merit in your Sampradaya. It is fruitive and therefore not transcendental. So, but the point is established that the etiquette is there to uphold the conclusions as presented by the founder Acharya of a particular mat. And that is the additional element which came into Gaudiya Vaishnavism in a response to the impersonalist lineage. Sankaracharya established a mat. He established a number of principal mats throughout India, which was an organization. Yes. So not only was the conclusion being carried forward from guru to disciple, but he also established a mat. And Madhavacharya also, in response to Sankaracharya, established a mat, an organized religion. And the Sri Sampradaya, whose head became Ramanujacharya, also established a mat. And finally, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established a mat. Right? When he began to vigorously preach Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which had watered down, after the six Goswamis, very soon the Apa Sampradayas came up, or the unwanted Sampradayas who were presenting all kinds of concocted conclusions and started to just change the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the name of Vaishnavism. And all throughout Bengal, many personalities were glorified as great Vaishnavas who were, however, not representing the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so much bogus information also is available about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. All kinds of of incidents, of miracles and so on are being reported and activities that are not supported by the Vaishnava, by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, right, as bona fide. So therefore, a lot of confusion arose. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took it upon himself to establish proper Siddhanta. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur began to organize that and to preach that, that bona fide Siddhanta coming down from the disciplic succession of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very strong way. And he immediately organized Gaudiya Vaishnavism in a mat. So actually in an organization, a society, one can say. Yeah. So this concept of mat is an additional element, right, to Sampradaya. It is a further protection of the Siddhanta. Right? That not only the Siddhanta is being preserved in the lineage of parampara, of guru and disciple, but that furthermore, the Siddhanta is protected within the lineage of a society, right? Or an organized form of religion. Society, Srila Prabhupada then organized a society. Of course, the Gaudiya Math was also registered in a legal form. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that was also arranged under the guidance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And subsequently, Srila Prabhupada organized the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a legal entity where Krishna consciousness was preserved in its in a legal form. In Radhadesh, they are now regularly reading the seven purposes of ISKCON, which are reflecting Krishna conscious philosophy in a legal form. So this is an addition to the traditional system where transcendental knowledge is carried forward from guru and disciple. A further protection for the age of Kali. Right? Just a further guarantee that nothing may go wrong. Right? That is the simple system. Right? So, many Vaishnavas will emerge either from ISKCON or either from the Gaudiya Math or even from outside the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And many Vaishnavas will present conclusions about Krishna consciousness. And sometimes an audience takes great inspiration from the words of any Vaishnava that may appear and feels that that Vaishnava is really shedding new light. But the true light has already been established in the authorized teachings of the Goswamis. And in particularly, the most authorized scripture that is representing the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that should be understood, that that is where we really must find it. Right? So if we're looking for inspiration, we should go back to where it really is. Right? We should not look for something that's new and different, or something that's exciting and something that we've never heard, which is not there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and think that it's more important. There may be things that are not in Chaitanya Charitamrita that are bona fide, right? But it takes a mature scholar to ascertain that. Right? But the essence is that everything which is essential, Sarva Veda Sara, for example, we find such kind of scriptures, such kind of statements. Sarva Veda Sara, the essence of all knowledge, is right here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is here in these teachings. So there's nothing obscure. It is not that, although it is stated, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, that the conclusions of all Vedic knowledge are hidden within the heart of the Vaishnavas, it should be understood that namo mahavananyaya krishna prema padayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very generously made all this knowledge available. And that the Goswamis, wrote down these conclusions very clearly. And that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita and in such a expert way that it is the 100% pure representation of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have in this lecture tried to show where the emphasis is. Yes, where the emphasis is of what is important. It is not only that we are taking certain teachings, right, and say that any literature that is within the Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnava is of equal status. That is not a fact. Right? It is not that all literature that has been written in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is of equal status. Right? We should understand that the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, stands there as the towering literature to establish the Siddhanta. And that everything else is periphery literature, it is supportive literature, it is expanded literature, but it always turns back to these books. Like some time ago, I was contemplating that the life of a traveling preacher, as I've been living now for a number of years, is very taxing, and that I'm getting older, and that I can feel the pressure of so much travel and so many programs and so many late nights and short nights, late nights, early mornings, and so on, and that it may not be the future for me and for many others to exactly live according to that model, and that I may take to another activity. So one of the duties which has been established by Srila Prabhupada for a sannyasi is to write on the conclusions of Krishna consciousness. So I felt inspired some time ago and I wanted to write. And for long I've been wanting to write on Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I thought deeply and I thought, like, yes, what will I write? What will I write that is of significance? I cannot write what can I add now? It's already been done. Prabhupada did it. He gave really the essence. Although he didn't complete Bhagavatam fully, still he gave it. The main thing he gave and whatever was not done was finished by his disciples. But basically Prabhupada brought it. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. That basically he gave. Now, anything I would write beyond, whether I would translate some work or whether I would write some further commentary, etc., is only supportive, is only there to help us to more easily enter into these scriptures. If I would write anything, it would only be that, right? Only to make the knowledge, if I write on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it could only be to make the knowledge that is there in unchanged form, more available. That could be the only benefit of anything I could do. So we are just the little fireflies who just little light, right, for a moment, compared to Prabhupada, who's the representative of the sun, right, who's really giving the full transcendental knowledge of which can enlighten the age of Kali. Purana ko dunoditaha. Krishne svadamo parakate dharma gyanadibhisaha. That this Kali Yuga, it is said that when Krishna left this planet, then dharma also left together with him. But this Srimad Bhagavatam is kalo nasta drisam esa. It can destroy the effect of the age of Kali. And this Chaitanya Charitamrita can destroy the effect of the age of Kali. And of course, it establishes that the chanting of Hare Krishna is the essence. There is no doubt. I mean, if one would really say, after reading these literatures, what is the real essence of all spiritual activity? Harinama, Harinama, Eva Kevalam. How can there be any doubt about that? Right. So, with the combination of chanting the holy name and studying these books in depth, we will get the shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Rupa, Srila Sanatana Goswami. We get the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Krishna. And we get the shelter of Lord Nityananda and Nitai Padabhinabhai, Radha Krishna Paitanai. Without the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, one cannot get Radha Krishna. And in this way, we will become true scholars. The Srila Prabhupada is often referring to the so-called scholarship, right, of mundane academics. Yes, such so-called scholarship is only covering transcendental knowledge. Such so-called scholarship is simply monoderm. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that all the different points that are brought up by such philosophers, Bhadra Abhadra, Dvaiti, all, whether it is favorable or unfavorable, or as it is translated, all different philosophical conclusions, either of good and evil, are all known to be monoderm. Monoderm means forbidden religion, or mano also means mind. It also means religious principles that are springing forth of the mind, or mental speculation, right, which will not save us. So we must be very careful of this tendency, and to just try to understand, right, the simple basic teachings of Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana Goswami, and not try to understand very much theoretically beyond our present level of advancement. We can spend our time and study so many things beyond our level of advancement. Right? We can try and understand everything about bhav, everything about prem, and so on. But Srila Prabhupada compares this to a child trying to understand what is sex life. How can a child ever understand what is sex life? He has no experience of it. He has no capacity for it. He cannot actually understand what it is, right, until he grows up. Right? Therefore, we are not really extensively entering into long discussions with small kids about sex life. We wait till they come of age, right, and are approaching the point where they're getting ready for sex life before we begin to discuss these matters with them. And that is the point where they become very interested. And that is the point where it begins to make sense. So in a similar way, a conditioned soul cannot understand the intricacies of prema and bhava. So one may theoretically have some understanding about the nature of these matters, but there is no point in depth trying to understand the higher aspects of the Krishna conscious philosophy, just as a child cannot really understand the nature of sex life. So in this way, one must focus his attention on practical philosophy, on philosophy that has a practical bearing on our everyday life, so that we can actually utilize the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The purpose of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is to change our life, is to actually make adjustments in our behavior and to conquer our Kali Yuga tendencies in various ways, both by conscious effort and by the purification of applying ourselves to the process of bhakti yoga. Anantapasamam saksat bhakti yoga matasyate adokshajay. That the anarthas are being removed from the heart by this process of devotional service. That is a fact. So, in this way, the simple spirit of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is very deep. Yeah, it's going very, very deep and is taking us directly by a very shortcut to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One can, of course, go through mountains and valleys of philosophies, of opinions, and so on. But it becomes a long, winding road. And it is not actually the road which will very quickly bring us to the lotus feet of the Lord. The quick way to the lotus feet of the Lord is by very carefully accepting the emphasis which has been taught by Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. It's not merely Gaudiya philosophy, but there is a hierarchy of which knowledge is important. And that hierarchy translates into emphasis. And emphasis means Harinama Eva Kevalam. It means chanting. It means studying these literatures primarily. And it means to be merciful and distribute this transcendental knowledge to the conditioned souls. Right? That is the essence of our practice, of our study, and of our practical life. And if these things are strong, chanting, study of Prabhupada's books, and passing on the mercy to the conditioned souls, then we are going the shortcut, right, very quick, to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the highest conclusions of Krishna consciousness will all be revealed. That is what it means. Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. That Srila Rupa Goswami has established the principles of religion based on the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that one must take shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. Okay, if there are any comments, any questions, I'll try and answer. Yeah. Well, it is said that Madhavacharya said so, yeah. And based on a quote also, there are scriptural references where this is stated. So Madhavacharya upheld these quotes. Now, obviously, Madhavacharya was a Vaishnava, and Madhavacharya's interest was to serve Lord Narayan, right, without any doubt. So Madhavacharya obviously was referring to Sansidhir Haritosanam, to Varna Ashram, which must be for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. That was obviously his interest, because we're seeing that in his practical example of his life. So therefore the Tattvavadis have a very poor understanding of Madhava's teachings. And we're seeing that some of the greater acharyas who came out of the Madhava Sampradaya, they had very great understanding, like Madhavendra Puri and Baladev Vijayabhusana. They are like the principal personalities who came out of the Madhava Sampradaya and entered into the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And they showed a very high and deep understanding. So it would not be appropriate to minimize the understanding of Madhavacharya. There are some points on where there are big differences between the philosophy of Madhavacharya and the Gaudiya Sampradaya. I cannot give the full list. I have it written down, but too long ago that I remembered it. But I think that the position of Sankarshan is somewhere referred to in scripture as Jiva, right? Yeah, there is a reference where Sankarshan is Jiva. However, it is stated that Sankarshan, when it is referred to as Jiva, this is the Gaudiya understanding, then that refers to the collective quantity of all Jivas. And therefore, Sankarshan is the origin of Jiva, Adi Jiva, you could say. So in that sense, it is understood that Sankarshan is Jiva, but Sankarshan is never a Jiva, right? But then somewhere in the teachings of Madhava, that is obscure, and Sankarshan is sometimes seen as Jiva. Now, this is some influence Sankaracharya is writing on this argument, right? So we see that because he's therefore in that there with that he's writing off the whole Chaturvyuha. Yeah. So the full pure Siddhanta is manifest in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. And therefore, ultimately, all sampradayas will have to adopt the conclusions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fully understand the Absolute Truth. See, Madhavacharya, even great acharyas who are totally dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on certain philosophical points may have opinions that are not always accepted. Right? So therefore, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, that is all fine-tuned. Everything is fine-tuned. And within the teachings of the six Goswamis, it is totally in detail established. Whatever may still be in question after reading Bhagavatam, after reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, specifically as a further enlightenment of Bhagavatam, then one can still take shelter of Jiva Goswami's Satsandarbha, where he has dealt with all the main theological points of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. So there these points are coming out. And also Baladev Vijayabhusana is like a real scholarly acharya who has established a lot of Siddhanta and of course wrote his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, the Govinda Bhasya, which is not a small thing. You know, like a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra includes a lot of conclusions, a lot of Siddhanta about the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various tattvas. Any other question? I think that the ladies need to be defended from the men, and that the men need to be defended from the ladies, because this is the age of Kali, and everyone is too much. The ladies are too much, the men are too much, and everyone needs protection in this age from everyone, because everyone is an harasser, and everyone is a victim at the same time. So if we look at ourselves in the mirror, then if we wear a t-shirt with victim on it, then we are fools. But if we wear a t-shirt which says victim / harasser, then we are more honest. So therefore, I think that all of us need protection from each other. Unfortunately, this is the reality of life. Because there's nobody who is not affected by Kali Yuga. And the women in this age have become highly contaminated by Kali Yuga and have long ago abandoned the principles of Dharma and have unfortunately been affected by a prostitute society, and now they have to undergo the purification of adopting Vaishnava behavior, which is not easy. And the men have long ago become debauchees, right, and have long ago become cheaters, liars, exploiters, right, and sex mongers, and so on. And now they have to become saints. And in the process of all that, there are so many interactions between men and women that are not appropriate in all respects, right? Either on the physical plane, not appropriate, or either on the verbal plane, not appropriate. So when we speak about the rights of women and the rights of men, we have the right to become purified. And as far as having the right to speak and the right for this and the right for that, that is that right you have, and I have the right to become sick. Right? I have the right to not like it. I have the right to one day, if everyone in our movement starts to claim his rights and speaks too loud about his rights, don't be surprised when the mature devotees go to the forest. Don't be surprised. So claim too many rights, then I claim the right to go to the forest, right? And just say goodbye, you know, and you can have it. You can have the whole thing. You can have the whole show. Because with everyone beating a drum about his rights, there's a lot of noise these days. There's a lot of noise. And some people seek their rights in courts of law, and some people seek their rights on internet, and some people seek their rights by stamping on the ground and speaking very loud. So I don't know about all these rights, but I just know I have one right to go to the forest. And that's my right, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. And I might just one day, you know, sometimes I feel inclined to take up that right. Yes. Then, what do you mean by that? Can you clarify? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Anyway, you know, like, I think that instead of trying to establish our rights, I think if we deal with Vaishnavas in a mood of service, then naturally the senior Vaishnavas will become inclined towards us. Right? So that is the better way. And when women are very sincere devotees, right, then naturally they will generate protection from so many senior Vaishnavas who will stand up for them and will do whatever is needed. So in Krishna consciousness, a lot is relating, I think, you know, without going personal now, but I think that it's more based on generating mercy than on claiming right. And I try to keep that in mind. And whenever I don't act on that principle, whenever I claim my right, even according to the right that I have, right? If I actually claim my right, you know, even if it is a bona fide right, well, it's not appreciated. Like if I say, you know, like, I'm the spiritual master of all the ashrams, right? If I claim it, you know, I'll go around and say, I am the spiritual master of all the ashrams. It will not be appreciated. Yeah? It will not, even although it may be a fact, right, according to scripture, but it will not be appreciated. So I sometimes do fall prey to claiming my rights, like everybody else, but my rights of seniority and so on, but something in me is wondering about this. Why am I doing this? And how much longer am I going to be doing this? And maybe I should just go to the forest. If it gets too much. Yeah, I don't think they were really changing the Siddhanta. I think they were just... No, there are some differences. But I think that they were just more revealing the actual meaning of the teachings of Madhvacharya. I think we should see that these other bona fide Vaishnava Acharyas have only partially revealed the absolute truth. But they have established very important aspects of the absolute truth, namely that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a person, and the absolute truth is Parameshwar. Param Satyam is Parameshwar, as it is stated in the introduction of Bhagavatam. They have established that point. Right? So because they've established the personality of Godhead, right, they are very, very important acharyas. And because they all have defeated Mayavad, right, in so many ways, with so many arguments, and smashed it, they are established as bona fide sampradayas. But through these sampradayas, one cannot get the full understanding of the absolute truth. So although that does not mean that Madhvacharya did not have full realization of the absolute truth. Right? He had taught up to a certain level. You know? So, therefore, when these other acharyas were going to a further extent, we just take it that they were representing the mercy of Madhvacharya. They were representing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It is a fact that in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is established that no one but the Supreme Lord Himself can teach the intricacies of rasa. No one. Right? Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can teach that. So although Madhvacharya is known as a very powerful personality, empowered by Vayu, right? Still we understand that he also did not have the capacity to fully establish the absolute truth. Yeah. But I see that not as a contradiction. I think he was representing it not in a formal way, but he was representing it deep in his heart. And that when there's different ways of representing, and that in the beginning one represents in a formal way, but just like Sukadev Goswami had spoken and Suta Goswami had heard, and it said that Suta Goswami should just speak it as he has heard it with realization. Right? So it is said. So as the realization is growing, then the depth is also growing. And I think that's what happened, that Madhavendra Puri was totally representing the sampradaya that he came from, but his realization was so deep and so complete that he began to manifest symptoms of love of God that had never been manifested before. But that is also contradicted, because in the story of Dhruva, Srila Prabhupada writes that famous purport wherein he established that the disciple, in some cases, the disciple can deliver the spiritual master. And sometimes the disciple can become more advanced than the spiritual master, and Srila Prabhupada very humbly prays and makes that point there, and he says, and therefore I hope that one of my disciples will become very advanced and will deliver me from this cycle of birth and death, right? So we have that other injunction also. It is not necessarily so that the disciple is only advancing and reflecting the same mood of the spiritual master. We see that there's a different reference. And of course, that's exceptional. Yeah, that very rarely happens. And therefore, how many Madhavendra Puris are there? Right? He's obviously like a highly exceptional personality. Yeah, so therefore it is stated that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instilled this realization in the heart of Madhavendra Puri, so that for the sake of upholding a sampradaya, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became the disciple of the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So naturally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to accept a perfect bona fide spiritual master who himself had accepted a perfect bona fide spiritual master. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took shelter of Ishvara Puri as his guru and of his Param Guru, Madhavendra Puri. And in that way, all the glories of the initiation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were fully manifest. So it is part of that particular lila where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking initiation. Yeah, the manifestation of Krishna consciousness in Madhavendra Puri and in Ishvara Puri. See, Ishvara Puri's qualification was, we could say Madhavendra Puri's qualification was extraordinary love of God. Ishvara Puri's qualification was extraordinary service to his spiritual master. Right? And the amazing thing that Madhavendra Puri was then so much disabled at the end of his life that he was paralyzed and lying in his own stool, and that his disciple then cleansed him and washed him and took care and cleaned the bedding and everything, totally dedicated to his spiritual master. And this is the glory of Ishvara Puri, being the servant. And that became the direct spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the relationship between these two personalities, there is a particular emphasis given on the mood of the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was the greatest servant. Yeah? That was that's the message. That's his guru. So it's very interesting that the guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the greatest servant. Yeah? That is his predominant mood. There's obviously a particular message in that arrangement, yeah, for us also. Yeah, okay, but Lord Chaitanya can still manifest this mood in Madhavendra Puri. We see that. He did that. It is Srila Prabhupada mentions that it's Lord Chaitanya who instilled this mood of love of God in Madhavendra Puri. Yeah. So I know that metaphor, right? The metaphor of the Chaitanya tree, and obviously it is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is the essence of the Chaitanya tree. Yeah. And other great personalities are part of it. So there's no contradiction there. We have to just see that these are the ways that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worked. He even worked back in time. He didn't only work ahead in time, but he worked back in time. And he had to do so to arrange a proper spiritual master. So it's logical. All that I can recall in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the reference to living beings within the material energy in a sukshma state, who are in an indolent, non-active state, totally non-active, who have not yet risen to any passion whatsoever, and who are therefore practically as Nityabada in that condition, practically stay in that condition eternally until by some external force they are activated. They do not, the Sukshma Jivas do not come on their own to passion, because it takes passion to come to passion. Yeah? There is no passion, so it is external. Yeah? There is no fire, so they cannot catch fire. Yeah? There must be an external source of fire. So the Sukshma Jiva is the only reference that I can think of. I cannot think of any reference to a jiva that exists in another realm outside the material world, in a realm of eternity, and is in an inactive state and then becomes activated. Such reference I don't see. So when you are referring to something, then I get the impression that it refers to the Sukshma Jiva. And that it's, that whatever reference is found in some other scripture, I get the impression that it is referring to this condition of the Nityabada Jiv, who is finding himself in a conditioned state and stays inactive for almost eternally. Sukshma Jiva, the subtle. Sukshma is subtle. So he stays in a very subtle form, doesn't become active in a gross form. So, said that living entities are everywhere, all pervading, and sarvaga, all throughout the universe, all throughout the material creation. So, that's the only possible reference I could think of. Otherwise, I have not found anything. No, Nityabada can mean different things. Nityabada can mean there was never, for some, it means that it's not that they were never active. They came to that inactive state due to sinful activity. Yeah. No one finds its origin in the inactive state. The inactive state, by constitution, everyone, the soul is eternally active. Right? Therefore, we're dealing with active souls who, due to sinful activities, became inactive. It cannot be the origin. Inactivity can never be the origin of the soul. You know, there's no such thing that a soul can... That's impersonalism. That's Mayavad, actually. Okay, Mataji. Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Yeah, it's terrible. I agree with you. It's hellish. It's hell. Because one is denied devotional service. So it's another. There are many ways that the soul can become conditioned where he's denied devotional service. So that Sukshma Jiva state is another form where one is denied devotional service. So it is terrible. It's hell. Wherever devotional service is denied, that's hell. Wherever there is devotional service, there is perfection. Right? Even if it's a grain of perfection in the midst of chaos, but there's perfection. But where there's no devotional service, there is only hell. That's hell. Yeah. Okay, we're coming to the end. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.